This week, Confederate monuments have been toppled or vandalized in Durham and Wilmington. The actions come in the wake of last weekend's deadly violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. Civil War and Confederate monuments and memorials are found across the South. The debate over their proper place, if any, on the region's landscape has intensified in recent years. Fitz Brundage is a history professor at UNC Chapel Hill. Several years ago, he researched North Carolina's memorials and monuments, Confederate and otherwise. He's identified 233 of them, most dedicated to Confederate soldiers or the Confederacy. Brundage joins me now.
Briefly, when and how did most of these Confederate statues and other monuments go up?
The earliest monuments, from we'll say roughly 1868 to about 1890, typically went up in cemeteries, really as memorials to Confederate dead. But then between 1890 and about 1930, the United Confederate Veterans and the United Daughters of the Confederacy and a few other organizations really took the lead in building civic sculptures that were located in prominent public spaces, for example, in front of courthouses. That's when most of the monuments that we think of when we think of Confederate memorials were put up.
Well, is it possible to say today with what mindset or attitude most of these monuments were erected?
Well, I think so, because we have a number of very clear contemporary sources from the moment when the monuments are dedicated that give us some idea of the goals. The monuments that were put up in public spaces tended to have very clear public meanings. The monuments were intended to honor, commemorate, and justify the Confederate cause. And sometimes the spokespeople at the dedications were quite explicit about how the monuments were monuments to Anglo-Saxon civilization and or the white Southern way of life, which was the highest form of civilization the spokespeople had ever witnessed. And so they weren't usually presented as monuments explicitly to white supremacy per se, but they were monuments to a way of life that gave whites ultimate power and privilege in the society.
Well, Professor Brundage, one thing that you've considered is what it would take to literally remove all of these memorials. What would it take?
I think it's a safe, educated guess that there are more than 1,000 Confederate memorials in the former Confederacy in conspicuous public places. And there may be as many as 1,500. Many of them were bought, if you will, from mail order catalogs, from foundries where they were mass produced. And you said, I have $2,000. You look through a catalog. Oh, that statue looks good. You sent your money and they shipped it on the railroad and then you dedicated it. Some of those monuments, in other words, are not works of great aesthetic significance.
Are there physical, literal considerations and or financial ones that make this a difficult proposition?
I think there are. There are questions. For example, somebody would need to decide, is this a monument that is worthy of preservation intact because it has some historical aesthetic significance that we deem worthy of preservation? In which case, then you figure out what public space in which you want to put the monument, and presumably you then want to have some sort of interpretation that explains to future generations why the monument ended up there and why it was moved, preserved, etc. There may be other monuments where people decide that this monument is of no particular aesthetic merit, but at the very least, the monument should be photographed and there should be some sort of archive of its existence so future generations will see that, oh, once upon a time there was a monument there. But these are serious challenges that need to be seriously talked to by public officials and by voters, by citizens. But on the other hand, they're not insurmountable. And the alternative to simply saying, well, we can't do anything because it's difficult or expensive, is an alternative to simply allow the landscape to remain as it is.
Professor Fitz Brundage at UNC Chapel Hill, thanks so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure.